Eddie, if you can run the mic back and forth in case somebody can't hear somebody else. Number 16, Don. It's also the purple one, I think. Proverbs 18:21.
Check.
Woo, there you go. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Wow. The tongue has the power of life and death. Anybody want to comment on that? The tongue has the power of life and death. Anybody want to talk about it? Want to say something? I ought to have feathers, I'm telling you, because I sure like chicken. You're right, sister. You're right. That's right. Look. Well, yeah, that's right. Death and life. Death and life. That's two extremes. One, you're dead, and one, you're living. One, you actually cause something to die, and the other, you cause something to live. And it says this power is in your tongue. So that tells me that it's not just in what I do, it's what I say. Yeah. So it's very powerful. It's a powerful thought that you can actually commit murder with your tongue. You can kill real projects with your tongue. You can kill stuff, good stuff. If you talk to enough people negatively, you can act. You know, I've told you this before. A negative thought will take up almost 7 times more space in your brain than a positive thought. So once that negative thought is in your brain, it's going to take at least 7 positives to even start shifting it. So you got to watch what you say and how you say it, because you can be actually walking along killing plants and killing saplings without even thinking about it. You know, do you know that a child, until they're about the age 7, are the most creative they'll ever be? Once they hit about 5, 6, or 7 in school, once they start being criticized for what they're doing, then all of a sudden they start backing down. And the average man dies at the age of between 21 and 25. He lives maybe 75, 80 years, but he dies here because he's told, talked to, whatever, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we got to be careful what we say to our spouses, what we say to our kids. You know, be careful how we say anything because, they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. In other words, if you run your mouth, if you're building somebody up, then you're going to see life. But if you're always tearing something down, you're going to see this. So it's very important how we handle this. This right here, this gets me in more trouble than anything I know of. I mean, it gets me in trouble all the time. Okay, any more on that? I got some more scriptures if y'all, you just, go ahead. I don't hear. Yeah, now try it.
Depression.
Those initials are David Lynch.
You know, depression is really bad. And that can make you have bad thoughts. But try to say good things. And so even if somebody has depression, they try to hide it, but yet say good things. It's hard to deal with depression.
Yes, it is. Very hard to deal with depression.
You have to fight it. But you can, let's see. The best way that you can fight it, I think, is with Jesus.
Definitely. That's right. That's good.
And in the name of Jesus, you can fight it. And if you stay in God's house and with God's people, you can make it.
That's right.
And that's the only way I get happy when I'm in church.
Oh, yes, awesome.
But when I stay home and alone, it gets very down.
Oh, yeah, because you think about old things. You think about, you know, I walk in the back of the house and there's nothing back there now. And I walk by every now and then, I think, wow, Daniel used to be here in this room, and DC was right here, and Bethany was right there, and there was always music playing, and there was always stuff going on. And I walk back there, especially if there's nobody there but me, and I walk back and think, wow, you know, it's so easy to get depressed, but then you have to think about it this way. Think about it as going in different seasons. Think about it as going in different seasons, that if you're not going in different seasons, I honestly couldn't take DC, Daniel, and Bethany back there now with their families. You know what I'm saying? Couldn't. Because they've grown and they need their space. And so you know, we look at the Waltons and, you know, Mom and Pa was there and everybody's staying in the house, but you know, in reality, families need their own place to grow. So when you think about it, I'm just happy. I think, oh, sure, it would be cool just sometimes, because I used to love to be, when me and DC and Danny would be playing. And Bear would come in and holler, "This ain't a honky tonk. Turn it down. Bethany's trying to sleep. Turn that mess down." We'd about there be singing in harmony and playing and just having a ball and not even paying attention to her. And she's going, I'm gonna tell you what, now I'm gonna cut some strings off some guitars if y'all don't stop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so it was just, I mean, it was like that all the time. And that thinking about stuff like that does bring back memories. It makes me smile. But I'd rather have the memories, the good memories, and look forward to even greater memories happening down the road than to sit back and look exactly where I'm at right now and go, man, I wish they were all back here playing and singing. And, you know, because I had no idea, none, that DC was, Daniel, I had no idea Daniel was going to say, "Dad, I'm wanting to come help." Then I really had no idea DC was coming. I had not played with DC and Daniel together in 13 years.
Wow.
And we played together for that thing over there, and that sparked DC. And from that time on, DC, I think, was trying to get back here. And so, you know, but now it's like, wow, it's so awesome. And again, you got to look forward, not backwards. If you look forward with regret and look forward with dread, then the memories behind you look so great and it clouds ahead of you. You got to look forward with hope and look forward with faith to know that the memories that are going to be up there are going to be just as great. They're going to be different, but they're going to be just as great.
Well, my Lisa, she tells me all the time, "Mama, look forward.
That's
don't
right.
Look back."
Looking back will hurt you.
Yeah. And I mean, she'll get upset with me, and I think she's the best counselor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. She's working on the end of her master, and she's working very, very hard. She did it all by herself.
That's awesome. It's like one little boy was in Sunday school and the teacher said, "Well, Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillow of salt." And he said, "Yeah, my mom looked back and turned into a telephone pole." You know what the famous last words of Lot was before she turned to a pillow of salt?
"Don't look at
me." No, it said, "I think somebody's gaining on us." Okay, let's go to the next one.
Ah, I will.
Okay.
Put my two cents in.
Go ahead.
Several years ago, a storekeeper was complaining that her business had started dropping off. And She asked Daddy, said, "Why is my building business dropping off so bad? People used to come here and hang out and spend money and come back in a little while. What's happening?" Daddy said, "Ruth, people come in here right happy and say, 'How you doing, Ruth?' And you tell them."
Yeah, that's right.
"Quit telling them how bad you feel. And regardless of how bad you feel, when somebody comes in smiling and say, 'How you doing?' tell them how good you're doing, even if you ain't." In about 2 weeks, her business picked back up, and she looked at Daddy. Daddy come in the store and said, "Edward Ernest, I started telling people I was doing better, and guess what?
Got better.
I am better." That death and life in the power of the tongue, calling things that be not as though they were. I ain't sick. I don't get sick. Against my religion.
Well, I heard a doctor say that there was a lady who had been to a bunch of different doctors. They could not seem to cure her. She was not only was she depressed, but she was just sick, and they couldn't figure it out. And so he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do. Here's my new prescription." There's a new doctor. He said, "Every morning when you get up, I want you to thank God and think of things to thank him for. And every hour or so, I want you to just thank God for what you got. And you come back to see me." She said, "That's it?" He said, "That's it." And she came back. "I want you to come back in 2 weeks and tell me how you're feeling." She drug in the doctor's office and drug out that day thinking, "Oh, wow." But you know what? When she came back in 2 weeks, her life, she came in jumping. She said, "Life is so awesome." Because she started thanking God for what she had. Here's the problem. This is the main problem. Hurt people, H-U-R-T, hurt people hurt people. So if somebody is hurting, when I had Buttons, my little dog Buttons never bit me, never snapped at me except for one time. And that's when I had her fixed when she weren't broken. I had her fixed, and I reached down to pick her up, and I took my finger and went right to the suture and picked her up, and she bit me. I don't blame her either. I mean, she didn't bite me hard, but she bit me. And again, there it is. Hurt people, especially if you touch where they're hurting. So you got to remember that. And so sometimes the people are hurting you. They're not hurting you because they're mean. They're not hurting you because they're out to get you. Sometimes they're just hurting you because they hurt, especially if you happen to hit a place where they're hurting. So here's number two, Matthew 12:36. This one here hits me every time I read it. It makes me want to go back and think and think and think and think of what I'd say. Matthew 12:36. You got to say amen. You don't say on me. Okay. Got it now? Okay. Men will have, this is tough now. This will preach, but it's tough. I'm telling you, it's about as tough as it comes. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, thou shalt give account thereof in the day of judgment." Or on the day of judgment, you're going to have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word. And they speak. You say, "Well, that means I can't even joke around." Nah, usually joking around, if you do it right, helps lift up people's spirits. And so that's a working word. So joking around can be work, a working word, or an operative word, operative word. But I'm talking about stuff that's inoperative, non-working, idle words, words also that are negative, that kill. And so it's very important that we think about this when we're talking about things. It's so important that, you know what? You may think, I've had people tell me before, "Well, I just gave them a piece of my mind." And I said, "You couldn't afford to give them a piece of your mind." You need every bit you had. You know, "Well, I just told them what I thought." That's a problem too. "Well, I just told them how it was." Well, you can't tell them how it was because you really don't know. There's only one knows how it was, and that's God. So I'd rather somebody tell me, "I'm going to tell you how I see it," than "I'm going to tell you how it was," because honestly, Sometimes I thought I saw it one way, and over the years I thought about it. And went, you know what? They were right. You know. So now, Ms. Craig, anybody got anything you want to say about that? Go ahead.
So that idle words can be compared to weeds growing in pretty flowers.
Yeah, that's right. It sure can. Anybody else? Or go to the next one. I'm only going to do a few more, and then we're going to go home. So y'all saying, now don't say anything so we'll go home. That's idle words. No. Go ahead.
I think you were at work with me today.
Uh-oh. That I've been accused of this now Sunday night and today. go ahead.
Well, when I got in a vehicle with Miss Helen tonight, she asked how my day was, and I said it was terrible. Just had a bad day. I got mad right to start with. We have a supervisor's meeting on Tuesdays, and I pure T got mad right to start with, and it wasn't good the rest of the day, and I was meeting with another lady near the end of the day. Our building's being under construction, and we've had to deal with construction workers for about 18 months. And I'll be honest, I am sick of construction workers. And I'm sure they've heard me fuss. But I was meeting with another lady in my office. I had my door shut. And generally, when you have a door shut, if you go into a room, you would knock.
Yes.
Or, you know, kind of peek your head in. But I'm talking with another supervisor, and this construction worker just walks in the door. And I'm like, okay, I've had a bad day, and you just bounce in the door. And I'm like, what are you doing? He comes out very quickly. I'm like, okay, I'm already mad. I'm already in a bad mood. And I go to another room, and I'm like, I can't believe this guy just walked in my room and didn't. And one of the other girls said, well, what would you have done if you had changed clothes? We're changing clothes. And I happened to say something stupid. And I get ready to leave. And then I walk out the door. And there he is. And I'm like, oh, my God.
He's heard everything else.
He's heard everything I said. And I mean, I didn't say anything inappropriate, but it's not something that I was proud of. And I'm like, one, I'm a Christian. Two, I'm a supervisor. Three, I'm a female. You know, I don't want to be that way. And then I'm in front of my girls. And
yes.
I'm like, okay, God, tag, you got me. And I'm like, okay, tag, you got me. You were at work. He got me. And I'm like, thank you.
I remember I was at Fountain. And at Fountain, I could always keep my cool. I mean, the Lord was just amazing. I could keep my cool. And one day, Daniel was working over in service and warranty with the racing team. And the supervisor was having a bad day. And so the supervisor started running his mouth to everybody. And then he got to Daniel, and he said something to Daniel. Of course, Daniel may have overemphasized it, but he said something like, you're not going to amount to anything. And that made me so mad. And so my group that always sent me to be Dr. Cool saw me get up and close my books. And I said, I'm going to go down, and we're going to have a little meeting. And they said, what is it? I said, I'm going to teach somebody how to talk to somebody. And they said, David, this is not the way you do things. I said, it is today. And they said, you're just upset because it's your boy. I said, well, that's got a lot to do with it. I said, but people don't need, I would got aggravated if you told anybody that, but especially my boy. And they said, David, this isn't you. And I thought about it, and I said, now I'm really looking bad. You know, and so I said, you're right. I took a deep breath and I prayed about it. I didn't even go down there. Next time I saw him was like the next day, that guy. I told Daniel, suck it up. and keep moving forward. It's going to be okay. And of course, him and Daniel got along fine after that. They didn't have any more problems. But that one day, that guy that hurt people. Okay? Okay, watch this. Proverbs 13 and 3. Proverbs 13 and 3. See, this all goes in order. Proverbs 13 and 3. And this is off the cuff tonight, but that's okay. We're having a good time. It's working. Proverbs 13 and 3. Proverbs 13 and 3. You got to say amen. You don't say oh me. Okay. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Wow. In other words, he that keeps his mouth under control. I know nobody in here except me and Stephanie. I'm picking on you, Stephanie. Because that's why I told my story after this. You know, all of us are guilty of it. Yeah. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. You know, you may think about that time that I just bought a wireless mic, and it weren't even doing all that great. It was a Mickey Mouse one from it just came out with them, and I had gone over to the church. I put the lapel mic on, clipped it on, and I'm walking over to the parsonage. Everything was off at the church. Somebody came into church and saw that the sound system was not on, so they turned it on. I did not know my mic was on. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm doing the final preparation, you know, whatever I was doing, combing my hair or something, and DC comes barging in the door, and his mama's dressing. And of course, she was dressed. She was just buttoned up, and I said, and I hollered. I won't do it now because I got this microphone on. I heard, boy, get out of here. Can't you see your mama's naked? And it went all over the church. So when I walked over to the church, everybody's just laughing. And I'm going, what are y'all laughing about? And they said, DC and his mama. And I'm like, but again, yeah, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Or he who guards his mouth keeps his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And think about this. I always talk about it this way. I tell somebody, I'm trying to find out something. They say, would you find out? I said, no, because they were keeping their cards close to their chest. A good poker player will take his cards and he'll hold it, or to his vest. They say to his vest or chest. He holds his cards like this so you can't see them. And that expression now has turned out people, when you're trying to talk to them, find out something, they're keeping their cards so tight. You really can't, and they got that poker face on, so you can't read them. And there's times where you need to keep your cards close and keep on the poker face. Because you never know when the person that's talking to you without even realizing it is going to be used by Satan. Satan uses Christians every day to tell the wrong person the wrong thing and start problems. So that's why I'm always careful what I say. I try to think about what I say, and we should all be that way. Think about what you're saying. Think about who you're saying it to. And I can tell you, I can't even count on my hands and feet, my toes, how many times somebody said, "Now, Pastor, I don't need you to tell anybody about this. I'm just telling you so you can pray. Please don't tell a soul." Okay. And come into church and be told by 12 people on the way up. So what they've done is they've told those other people too. Don't tell anybody. And I tell them, look, if you want, the only way you can keep, look, listen. Now, I'm almost sound like I can't keep a secret, but I don't mean it this way, but it's an old saying. The only way to keep a secret between two people is if one of them's dead. Okay? I can keep a secret. I know y'all can keep a secret. I'm just saying there's an old saying, and it's got a lot of truth to it. Okay? James 3, verse 7. James 3, we're almost through. Got two more and we'll be out of here. James 3, James chapter 3. James is the New Testament book of Proverbs. Did you know that? Hebrews is the New Testament book of Leviticus. James chapter 3, verse 7. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue, wow. I mean, they've trained elephants. They've trained fleas for a flea circus. They've trained all kinds of animals. I've seen some of the wildest things where people have tamed these things. It says, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable, evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God the Father, and therefore we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? We ought to think about this stuff when we find ourselves wanting to get negative, because it's very possible to have a very positive spirit and get negative over something. And there are certain people I expect to hear negative from. I mean, some folks find fault so much you think they got paid for it. Some folks love negative. If it weren't for negative, they couldn't live, I don't think. But the people that are positive, the people that are full of faith, usually the faithful people, people that are actually living by faith, are the positive people. If the positive person has a bad day, you can really tell it. If a negative person has a bad day, so they're just being herself. And if they have a really, really good day, you really, honestly, you just get surprised that they've said something positive. But what it's saying is, they don't come out the same fountain. So it's cool to be thinking about this. God, help my fountain not to be bitter. Help me not to say negative things. It's easier if somebody asks you something. You've heard me say it before. It's all in how you say it. If your wife says, how do I look? And you say, honey, when I see your beauty, time stands still. Wow. I can say the same thing in a different way. Honey, you got looks that will stop an 8-day clock. I said the same thing, but a different way. It's all how you say it. Okay? Think about it before you talk. I always try my best. I don't always succeed. Sometimes you get bombarded, and you get bombarded by so many people, you can't stop and think. But stop and think. Am I getting ready to put a negative snowball in motion? One word, one wrong word can start a snowball that grows so big it winds up taking out. You can take out a whole congregation. One word. One word spoken at the wrong time can really be terrible. So I say, God, help me. Help me to bring out good stuff. Help me bring it out. You know, I remember every day, I would just take my boys to school in the morning when I could, and I didn't ride the bus home in the afternoon when they were Benson. And every morning we prayed. And not only did we pray, I told them that they were built by God to make a difference. And I told them that every day. And I told them they were going to make a difference. And I just refused to leave them off going to school with bad feelings. I'd always tell them, I love you, buddy. We'd pray. And God's got you here for a reason. And you get out and show what God can do with you. Now, I've taken Emmy to school a lot this year because they all these two-hour delays. And the first time I took Emmy to school, I put my hand back there and she gave me five. And I said, no, Emmy, I'm going to pray with you. And she said, okay, Paul. Now when I take her to school and I put my hand back, she goes ahead and grabs it and get ready to go. You know, and I tell her, Emmy, you were made to make a difference today. Go do it. Again, it's important. It's so important that we let this fresh stuff come out of our mouth, the sweet stuff and not the bitter. Because bitter is there. Everybody's got bitter. If you don't think you got bitter, everybody's got bitter. But it's our decision how we use it. Amen? Then finally, here's the last one. And then we're gonna pray and leave. Proverbs 25 and 15. Proverbs 25 and 15. Proverbs is the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs. This here, I picked these out while y'all were singing because it just looked like they all just went right in order so awesomely. So, Proverbs 25 and 15. By long forbearing, a prince is persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Or here it goes. By long forbearance and calmness of spirit, a judge or a ruler is persuaded. And soft speech breaks down the most bone-like resistance. Wow. My daddy used to tell me all the time, you can get a whole lot more with sugar than you can with whatever else he would name off. And sometimes you didn't use that expression in Sunday school. Being patient and being soft-spoken, you can win a whole lot more battles than to come jump on somebody and try to beat them into submission. I don't like people trying to beat me into submission. Matter of fact, if somebody tries to beat me into submission, you can forget it. If somebody comes in and they're patient and they give me a chance to think, that's where you got to be patient. That's what it means. When you're being patient and soft-spoken, you're giving that person a chance to think. Plus, you're influencing them with the opportunity before them. You're not beating them into submission. All right?
On the TV court shows, mm-hmm. Judge Judy, et cetera, if you'll notice, the people that they're judging between, the one with the bad attitude always loses.
Yeah, it doesn't work. How's that working out for you? Yeah, bad attitudes are tough. And I was telling, and I've told y'all this before, but I was telling this to somebody the other day. They were talking about how bad they were treated at work over something. And I said, I was sitting at the table with all the managers at Fountain. And we were sort of report on what we were doing. And my project was not completed. And it was behind. I was industrial engineer. The military and fishboat engineer, he was the one holding me up. He just kept pushing me to the back burner. And I said, I got things got to get done. He said, mine's coming first. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, he didn't just not do it. He treated me bad about it. So I'm sitting there in this big old meeting with all the management, and here's what you'd hear every time. They would start. Nobody took any responsibility. Everybody always blamed everybody else, always. And so, even Mr. Fountain, this is probably the same day Mr. Fountain started talking, and the other engineer's name was David. My name was David. So Mr. Fountain starts saying David, and talks, and I don't pay attention. He finally says, "Your name is David, isn't it?" And the other David slapped me on the shoulder, so I think he's talking to you. I said, okay. And so we get talking about this project, and I'm way behind because of him. And I would have been all dead to right if I said, well, if he'd hurry up, we could do something. But I didn't. I said, Lord, here's my chance to make a difference. And so I just said, yep, we're behind. Ran into some snags. Didn't do this either. Wanted to. Ran into some snags. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And when I said that, I kid you not, everybody got quiet at that table. Everybody. Nobody said a word. And I kept wondering, what's going on now? Because, you know, Mr. Fountain was in a firing mood that day. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I just apologized. Said I was sorry when I could have said it's his fault. And he's even looking at me, knowing that he'd done it. And finally, the vice president engineer looked over at me and said, we forgive you. And said, move on. And so I'm back around the table. And everybody was just amazed that somebody took responsibility, you know what I'm saying, not place blame. It was just awesome. And so and I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen when I did it. I just knew that I was not going to throw him under the bus like he was already throwing me, because two wrongs don't make a right. Although I was wearing this is my almost white shirt. I was wearing a white shirt in the Chinese restaurant last night and dropped some of that red sauce up here. And I asked the waitress, could she get me two wongs? And she said, two what? I said, two wongs. And they said, two wongs. I said, yeah, hadn't you heard two wongs make a white? Nothing. They just kept going on. I had to get my cup and drop my napkin in my cup and try to... I was going to the hospital. I didn't want to go to the hospital with a red here. You're going to think, you've been shot. Somebody called the rescue squad. All right. The wongs didn't work, but that did. That water worked, yes. The water got it mostly off. It got off enough that nobody noticed when I got to the hospital. Okay, let's pray, y'all. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Lord, I know, God, that everybody in this church, everybody I know of, everybody, whether they're kinfolk, in-laws, outlaws, whatever, they're all going through struggles. Life is a struggle. I know, God, there's a lot of hurt people out there, and the hurt people are hurting people and don't even realize it. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us right now, Lord. We may not can stop it. But we can't stop the output or the input, but we can change the output. We can't necessarily stop what's coming our way, but we can change the way we handle it, which in turn will even affect the people that are dishing it out. Lord, help us to guard our mouths. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing battle. We all fight it every day. Father, I ask you for strength, wisdom, and understanding. Help us take your word and hold on to it. And know that you got our back, Lord. You got this. We trust you for it, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Y'all get ready for guess what Sunday is? Easter. Amen. I told y'all one time before y'all hear about me, I ran over an Easter bunny. I was riding down the road, ran over an Easter bunny, little Easter bunny, and my grandbaby started crying, Papa, you killed the Easter bunny. And so I said, hold on, I got this. And I pulled out and as people were coming around to see what was going on, I went out and I got this can out the back of my car and I sprayed it. And the Easter bunny jumped up, looked at me, and started hopping off. And as it hopped off, every time it would hop off, it would stop after about 3 or 4 foot and would wave at me and hop on, turn around and wave at me and hop on until it finally went out of sight. And they said, that is amazing. I said, what is that stuff in that can? I said, it's nothing wrong. It's just nothing spectacular. I said, I just went to Walmart. I said, I just got my wife a can of hairspray.